Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, going to New South Wales. It is winter in New South Wales. This is the southern hemisphere opposite the northern hemisphere's heat waves of summertime. However, Jeremy Zakas tells me this is an unusual winter. Jeremy, a very good day to you in Sydney, New South Wales. For some years now, we've watched the weather patterns and always remarked weather is not climate. However, you're now living with a La Nina following immediately upon an El Nino, which followed immediately upon a La Nina. So you're being battered by the temperatures that are associated with those chiefly ocean phenomena. But right now, your weather is reporting something that's akin to our weather, snow and sleet and damp and cold. Is this unusual? You grew up in southern Australia. Is this something you saw as a child? Good evening to you.
G'day, John. I can say outwardly, absolutely not. And truth be told, as you said there, I did grow up in Adelaide, so I was in South Australia, which is in the center of Australia, at the very bottom of the map there. And the winters there were a little bit more moderate. So we tended to get rain and we got what we called cold temperatures, which were really, you know, around 10 degrees Celsius, 15 degrees Celsius. So really talking around about 40, 50 Fahrenheit. So not all that bad. And then we even were aware that on the East Coast as well, while the temperatures were cold, they weren't really much different. It was still the rain, still just the cooler temperatures and wind. But when we get now to 2024, what we're experiencing is something I've never experienced before. We have literally just gone, and this is in the past week alone, through a cycle where we've had not only rain at the beginning of the week, followed by a very quick snap to a cold front that brought temperatures down below freezing here in Sydney and in other parts of New South Wales, to then actually getting snow here in southern Sydney. And I'm not just talking about in the Blue Mountains where you typically get a bit of snow on the peaks. We actually got snow down here on the plains for a brief period around about Wednesday night, and then followed by another bout of rain, a bout of very, very high, strong winds. So we got gale force winds pretty much all through Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday morning. And then we've come to basically a cold, crisp day again. So we're talking temperatures just above freezing, moving only to around about 40 Fahrenheit. And John, this, you could have those conditions across, say, the space of an entire winter, so say across a four-month period, but we're getting them very rapidly in the space of 5 days this week, for example. And this is not normal. This is definitely La Nina events. And in fact, our Bureau of Meteorology is saying that these are extreme weather conditions and basically to prepare ourselves for more because it's not going to stop. And of course, as you said at the top there as well, we're expecting El Nino after this. So we could see these conditions this year and about this time next year, we could be talking about extremely high temperatures, no rain and almost drought conditions in the winter. So, John, it is just absolutely bizarre here in Sydney right now. I didn't think I'd be talking about snow in the middle of July.
We jest in New England. We jest that when Washington gets an inch of snow, they faint. They call off school. They can't drive. An inch. You understand. Is that the same for Sydney? When you get an inch of snow, many people find it difficult to drive and commute because they're not used to it?
Absolutely. In fact, we do get weather warnings for people who live up in the Blue Mountains. So especially in some of our outer towns like Katoomba, where people live in Katoomba, they drive down to the city. And when it snows, it actually stops them driving. But a lot of people either start to take the public transport, so you think trains and buses, or they just work from home. And the problem too, John, I should say, is that our train systems are not really made for it either. So when you do get extreme cold and you do get snow and even sometimes sleet and ice on the rails, our train network actually grinds to a halt almost because the train slowed down, there's fewer on the line, they have to check the rails to make sure nothing's been damaged by the cold overnight, and things just really become tricky to deal with. And so in all honesty, you can imagine this week it has been chaotic here in Sydney, just people trying to get to work. And throw on top of all of this too, I should mention, the wind. We've had gale force winds all through Sydney, which have brought down trees on top of the rain, on top of the snow, on top of the sleet. And even in one case, we actually had a tree fall on top of one of our light rail systems as well. So our poor old rail network has been getting hammered by other parts of the weather system. So, yes, it's almost exactly what you say. You get an inch in Washington, everybody faints. Get a very skerrick of snow here in Sydney, and practically the whole state stops working.
What's the timeline, or if this was ordinary climate, what's the timeline for winter breaking?
You'd really be looking at winter breaking around about the end of August. So what you'd start to see here naturally in July is it would be still cooler temperatures, be getting rain, but the temperatures wouldn't be getting much colder. So you won't be getting minus temperatures as we were seeing now. Then as we hit August, typically what starts to happen, especially in Sydney, you really feel that humidity come in. You actually start to feel the warmth start to come in too, and you see the rain dissipate. And that's not to say you don't get rain in August, but you just get the feeling it's a lot less. And typically what you see in Sydney is people start to get a little bit more cheerful because we know we've gone through the winter and we're starting to come into that spring and then the summer period. So we should be already starting to get towards that period. But honestly, John, it feels like we're actually going into a deeper winter. So it's completely the opposite.
Jeremy, there was a moment where we talked about the Antarctic polar front coming up directly and hitting, I think it hit Tasmania and then it hit the southern coast. Is that still part of your weather pattern, or is that behind you?
No, that's very much part of this. In fact, the energy from a lot of this cold weather we're getting right now is called a polar blast. It's actually from the Antarctic. And what really caused the trouble this week is that there's actually a high pressure system just off the Pacific, in the Pacific Ocean, just off the eastern Australian coastline and to the north of where Sydney is, so that what happened is when the cold weather came up, this high pressure system actually trapped it from going further north, which meant a lot of it was pushed back onshore here into Sydney, into New South Wales, and back down into Victoria. So you can almost think of it as a big circular motion of very, very cold, icy weather that couldn't escape the area. That high pressure system is moving further out into the Pacific Ocean right now. But if you do look at a weather map of Australia, what you'll still see is, especially one that shows temperatures and winds, this is actually part of the Antarctic winds we were getting over a week ago. It's just that they can't escape. They can't push further out to sea, which is the normal pattern. And this, I believe, is where the La Nina problem comes in, because the reason that high is staying where it is because the warmer temperatures in the ocean up in the higher latitudes are creating that system that's blocking this cold air from escaping.
Jeremy Zak is in New South Wales, in Sydney, Australia. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.